Have you ever heard somebody say about a preacher, he's a good minister? Well, it's the goal of any minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to be a good minister. But what does this mean? How can a minister be a good minister of Jesus Christ and his gospel? What men think and what men say is one thing, but what does God think? And what does God say about being a good minister? Well, the section of scripture that we're about to look at indicates for us some marks of a good minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And although you may not be a preacher, you can appreciate what he's saying here about preachers, and much of what he talks about applies to people in general. But if you are a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is a list that you'll want to study and that you'll want to give some attention to. So let's read, beginning in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. We're going to read the entire section, although we won't look at all these requirements or all these characteristics today. We're going to begin in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, and read all the way through the rest of the chapter, verse 16, as we begin to talk about marks of a good minister. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, specially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Let's go back to verse 6 then, and let's begin our list. If you want to be a good minister, according to Paul, number 1 in verse 6, remind the brethren of things that they know. Paul said, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. A lot of the work of teaching and preaching is not teaching people things that they don't know. It's not teaching people something new as far as they're concerned. It's reminding them of things that they've already been taught. It's helping them to understand in a deeper sense things that they've already learned. It's challenging them to apply things that they already know. Many times in life, we don't make mistakes because we don't know the answer and we don't know what to do. We don't know the difference between right and wrong. Many times, we know it, but we're not thinking about it as we should, and we're not applying it to the extent that we ought to. So Paul says you have to constantly remind the brethren of these truths. So the work of preaching is not just teaching people something one time and then going to a higher level or on to the next subject and teaching them something else, and on the process goes. The Bible shows that a teacher and the Bible shows that a preacher has to take people back in their minds to things that they've learned a long time ago. And another aspect of this, of course, is that no matter how many times you look at the Bible, no matter how many times you look at a certain passage and read it, every time you look at it, you're going to have a fresh perspective. You're going to see things that you didn't see before. You're going to realize things that you had not previously. And so as we remind the brethren and we remind ourselves of things that we've already learned, we're going to further the application of these great truths in the Bible. This is exactly what Peter was talking about in the book of 2 Peter. The last book that Peter wrote is a book that's dedicated to reminding people of things that they already know. Peter begins in 2 Peter chapter 1 saying that we're to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love or charity. These people that he's writing to already knew that they were to do these things. They already had been taught that they were to add virtue and knowledge and temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love to their life. Those things were not new. They understood that they were to have those things in their life and grow in those things. But Peter said this. He said in verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth." Peter says, you're established, you're settled, you're grounded, and you know these things. There's no question about that. But he said, I'm going to continually remind you of these things. There are some truths in Christianity that are so important and so far-reaching that we need to go back and revisit them often. And Peter says, I am going to do that. In verse 13, he continues by saying, yea, I think it meet. In other words, I think it's fitting. I think it's proper. As long as I am in this tabernacle, and the word tabernacle there means a tent. He's talking about his body. As long as I'm alive, as long as I have breath, Peter says, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now, there again is a very insightful statement that the Holy Spirit, by the pen of the Apostle Peter, gives us. And that is, when we're reminded of things that we already know, but we tend to let them slip, we just tend to take them for granted. For instance, when we talk about a subject like love that Peter mentions here, we may look at it and say, well, I've always believed that we ought to love. I learned that when I first obeyed the gospel, and I've read a lot on that, and I've heard a lot of sermons on that. But that's a subject that is so deep that you can't just look at it one time or even 100 times, because we need to constantly go back to it and relearn it and reapply it to our lives. But here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, Peter tells us that one of the reasons why that he was reminding them of these great truths is because he said, they will stir you up. If you say to yourself, well, I already understand that. I already know what the Bible says about baptism, or I already know what the Bible says about the character, the nature of God. If we do that, then we'll tend to let those things lie, and they will become somewhat dormant. And the Bible tells us that we need to go back and be reminded of them to stir us up. And Peter repeats that. He says it again in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now, this is what Paul is talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. He says, if you remind the brethren of these things that I'm talking about, you will be a good minister. So if you are a gospel preacher and you want to be a good minister in God's eyes, then part of the work is to remind the brethren of the things that they already know. Number two, in verse 7, Paul said to refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. You notice so many times in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and the book of Titus, as Paul is writing to these preachers, that he contrasts the truth with lies. Here the Bible talks about these fables, these myths, lies that were being promulgated, lies that were being spread. Paul said, don't waste your time with those things. Don't have anything to do with them. Refuse them, because you've got more important work to do. You don't have time to spend in listening to that kind of talk. You need to spend what little time you have, because life is short and life is brief. You need to spend that valuable time teaching the truth of God's Word. So he says in verse 7, refuse profane and old wives' fables. there were certain fables that were being circulated, especially among some of these older women back in the first century. Paul doesn't give any examples of these fables, but he says that they are fables. They are lies. There is no truth to them. And number two, he says that they are profane. They are unholy. There is no good to come out of these things. So he tells Timothy, you spend your time with the Scriptures. You spend your time with the truth of God's Word. So the lesson for us today is clear. If a man wants to be a good minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he must refuse to have anything to do with fables, lies, things that are contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He needs to remain with the truth and not be led away by false ideas. Sometimes preachers are led away from the truth by ideas that sound new, by doctrines that sound different, by opinions that just are intriguing to him and stir his curiosity. A preacher must remain true to the settled truth of God's Word and not give in to those kinds of movements. So point number two that Paul makes about being a good minister of Jesus Christ is that preachers are to refuse fables and myths. Number three, Paul tells this young preacher that he needs to put more emphasis on his spiritual growth than he does on bodily exercise. He needs to make sure that he's giving more attention to his spiritual health than he is his physical health. Notice the contrast here in verse 8. Paul said, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, or for a little while." So Paul admits, Paul does say that there is good that comes out of bodily exercise, that bodily exercise does do you some good. And that's especially true today, where there are many people who live a sedentary and an inactive life physically, and they need to get some bodily exercise. Now, in Paul's day, people walked a lot more than they do today, and they got that kind of exercise. But he's saying here that there is a profit, there is a benefit to bodily exercise. Doctors will tell you that today, and Paul is admitting this here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Now, remember that he's writing to a young preacher, and he said, yes, exercising your body is a good thing, and it does benefit you little or a little while. But, he said, there's something that's much better, and that is exercising yourself unto godliness. Because, he said, if you will put time and energy into spiritual exercise, you will have two benefits. You will have the promise of the life that now is. In other words, that will do you good and benefit you in this life. But also, it will do you good and benefit you especially in the life that is to come. Now, bodily exercise is going to benefit you in the here and now. And there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, Paul said there is a good side to that. But the bottom line is, your body is not going to last very long. Your body is going to go back to the dust. Exercising your body will help you to be more healthy here in this lifetime, but it will not benefit you in the world to come. But if you exercise yourself spiritually, Paul says you're going to benefit here in this life and in the world to come. So this point then, point number three, about being a good minister of Jesus Christ, is to put more emphasis on spiritual exercise than on physical exercise. And that means that a preacher who puts more time and effort and interest into sports than he does into Bible study and prayer and preaching the gospel is not being a good minister of Jesus Christ.